Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, very good, and he's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God has so much to say, so many wonderful things to share with his people. He loves us. The Lord loves us, and he watches over us just like he loves Jesus. And we all know that Jesus, he always answered Jesus' prayers. He always moved on Jesus' behalf. Now watch this. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. And many times people focus on the negative. Why not focus on the positive? Why not focus on what God has done, what God is doing, what he's able to do, and what he's decided to do in our lives, on our behalf? We need to wake up to the living love of God. Respond in kind to God's love. If God loved you, love other people. He did love you because he sent his only begotten son. And then his only begotten son decided to lay down his life according to the Father's will just for you and I and everybody. Everybody. He died for all people. The good, the bad, the wicked, the wonderful, everybody. And I believe he did it just as much collectively and, you know, individually and collectively. He knew our names. Now, God knew our, he knew who would be born. He loves us all. He knows us by name. And he know our personalities. There's a part of himself in each of us. And see, the enemy didn't make anybody. He just tried to pervert what God made. And he tried to destroy us. And we need to understand where our enemy came from. He was an angel. He saw God's face. He know how things work. He know how to undo things. And he hates us. He can't hurt God. So he tried to hurt his children. Now, evil men, you may not think of them as God's children, but they are. They were born. And all babies who die, all little children who happen to die, they're in the kingdom of God. They can't judge evil yet. And with the right influence of the angels, they always choose Jesus. A child's spirit is lit. It has the capability of loving God. That's why when a woman gets pregnant, her face seems to glow. They have a glow about them. That's because of the child, not necessarily the mother. Now, honorable people, honorable women that love God, they have the same glow. People that are born again and they love God, you can tell that there's a difference. There are guys who get saved and they go back to around their friends and they notice a difference. It's unspoken, but they notice. If you get saved, people know it. It's a spiritual thing. And so it is with children. Their spirit men are lit. Their spirits are lit. And I remember when my cousin was expecting, I saw that glow on her face. It's not a light. It's not like the sun was shining or nothing. It was a difference. But because the child's spirit is lit and it gets into the woman's countenance, it's true. Jesus said that the little children suffering them to come to me because they're in the kingdom of God. And they have a much better chance of surviving if parents would only minister the word of God to their children. And most parents, even Christian parents, don't do that. They don't teach them Jesus. They just don't. It's weird. They don't sit them down and teach them at their house. they take them to church. I never understood that. I said, I always said, when I have a family, I'm going to teach my children at home. And I used to rock my daughter to sleep and my son when they were toddlers. They were able to talk. Shana was 3 or 4 and Thurston was 1 or 2. But they could understand what I was saying. And I would teach them about Jesus. I taught them how sin got in the world and how Jesus came to do away with our sin. Wash our sins away. And one morning, Saturday morning, my daughter came. She was 3 years old. She said, Dad, tell me a story. And I knew what she wanted. By the Holy Spirit, I knew what she wanted me to tell. I said, what story? She said, the one when Adam sinned and Jesus came and washed our sins. I told her again. She said, last night I dreamed about Jesus. And then she said, I believe on Jesus. And from that day, she was much easier to raise. And the other children, they followed her example. Now, and it was daylight and darkness difference in the way she behaved and conducted herself and everything from that time. And I thank God for it. She is a blessing. Because Jesus, the life of God makes the difference. And too many people are missing out. They're concerned about how people think about them. Christians think they're better. They think everybody else is going to hell. It's not our will that anybody go to hell, but you're going. Unless you believe on Jesus. And that's, you know, the reason is people's eyes are open. They can judge. When they hear the gospel, they can judge. They know. You have a witness on the inside because it's true. Remember, Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what's good and you know what's evil. But when people don't want to commit to God, they try to look around for another route. Now, men, they built a tower. They didn't want to trust God. God spared them. He had Noah make the ark. And see, the first generation after the flood, they didn't trust God. They decided to make their own tower to heaven because they were stiff-necked and didn't want to do what they were supposed to do. They didn't trust him. They had the witness of the rainbow. God gave them that rainbow to show them that you won't be judged again. But they wouldn't listen to that. When they saw the rainbow, it wasn't enough to not make them make the tower. They wanted to make their own rules. And that's why people are in so much trouble. And if you in the generation that tries to make its own rules, they putting hurdles before the next generation, because what we do in moderation as parents, our offspring do in excess. So that's why so many things are just out of order. But God loves us anyway. The love of God will cure all these things. It'll destroy the wicked deception from the enemy. Now, when people hear about Jesus, they know that it's true. That's why when they don't want to commit, they get angry. And they try to find, and immediately the demons come and give them all these excuses. But see, when people live the light, that makes people angry too, if they don't want to commit to Christ, if they don't want to believe on Jesus. This is true, folks. That's just how it is. Psalms chapter 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, it's and people that don't believe in anything, when the light comes around and they hear the testimonies of healing and how God cured somebody of cancer, they get angry. Well, how come he didn't heal this person? He don't go around. healing people randomly. He'd heal anybody that believed him for it. If you believe, he already paid the price for you to be healed. He's not going to do it again. You just got to believe in what Jesus did. The word of God has, see, when people don't have faith because they don't study God's word. That's, the word of God is where we get our faith. And you can't blame God if you don't do your part. He's ready to do his part. And he wants to. He loves you. But the enemy come with all these bombarding lies. Well, he healed that person, but he didn't heal you. He don't love you. You're not good enough. It's not about being good enough. If you can believe if you can believe what the word of God said, you can have your healing. God loves you. And he cares about you in every part of your life. And folks, people just going to have to stop trying to get around God and look at what he's saying. Take it serious. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." This is the record that's been played from time to time over the centuries. You know, the Protestant church came along because the Catholic church, which was once a very great church, they started using the doctrine of Christ to dominate people. And they started selling salvation, basically. They came up with a purgatory. There's no purgatory. There's heaven and there's hell. But people who were in between, they said they went to purgatory. And if you put money in this pot, you can, you know, you pray for your soul, your loved ones, and they can go to heaven. They did a lot of mischief. It was wrong. To Martin Luther King. And he read Habakkuk chapter 2. That the just shall live by his faith. And he taught people faith. During the Dark Ages, he wrote 95 theses and posted it. And people started believing on God and getting saved for real. And then I believe it was him who translated the Bible from Latin, which was a dead language, back to German. And he started a Reformation, and it went viral. It blessed people all over, and people started getting saved and getting killed for it. Because verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is nothing new. When Paul was about to die, he said that false teachers would come. Peter said the same thing. When they died out, false teachers would come. And that's what happened. That's how it got to that point. That's how the Dark Ages formed. Because men are still trying to get around God. Now, these broadcasts on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com, on the audio 3 page, which is almost full. I'm going to have to make another page. It's going to be an audio 4 page soon. But anyway, newlivingletters.com. Let your friends know. And you can download, if you hear something that's a blessing, download it and share it with your people. Because the anointing is on these broadcasts, because it came from God, not me. And I'm just one of the messengers on that on the broadcast. There's other ministers on there too. From the we have a Sunday school class, we post them. And sometimes I have guest ministers. So if you hear something that's a blessing, things that will clear, you know, teachings that will clear things up. It's on newlivingletters.com. Okay, continuing. Psalm chapter 2. Verse 4. They want to, well, verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now that's what's going to happen during the tribulation. People are going to get judged for rejecting Christ and killing people and destroying the earth and destroying societies and murdering people. And fornication and homosexuality and adultery, all of it's going to be judged. The abomination of abortion, all of it will be judged. God is angry at sin. He loves you. He loves people. But he's going to destroy sin. Now, he wants people to get saved so they can avoid. We're not saved from Satan. We're saved from the wrath of God. God made provisions because in heaven's, the justice of heaven is different from the justice of the world system that you know. God's justice is perfect. You wouldn't last without the blood of Jesus in heaven's court. We already broke his law. We were born in sin. But through Christ, we can enter the kingdom of God. We can see the way it works is when you believe on Jesus Christ, all your sins are washed away. Think about a graph. You got the zero line, then you got the negative 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you got the positive, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, people are sin all their life. They're way at the bottom of the negative. But then when they're born again, they're back at the zero line like Adam was. They're ready to start building their life. Your salvation is nothing. You didn't earn it. It was a gift. The only reason we're righteous is the blood of Jesus has washed our sins away. That's why we're righteous. That's it. Nothing we did. We just received through faith. So now, if you receive God's word in your heart, you're still at the zero line. You're building your heart. You're putting God's word in your heart. And you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. You'll be able to build your life. You have abilities. Still at the zero line. But then you start acting on the word of God. You start serving mankind, being a blessing, working as under God on your job, being a blessing to people. Not doing their work for them, but what I mean being a blessing to people, loving people like God loves you, helping people understand who God is. Now, the blessings of God on your life, and you start growing from glory to glory. Instead of staying at the cross on the zero line, your life starts escalating. Your character is being built. You go from zero to one, from one to two, from two to three, and so on. And over time, Christ is formed in you. You have his word in your heart. You're completing him. Whatever you do will be blessed as you are because you live in the word of God. Salvation don't just take you to the positive of life. It gives you a chance to build your life however you want to build it. But sometimes people get saved and they don't, and they may study the word, they may not, and they don't walk in love. So they start going right back to the negative, to the world. The world system is the negative. They choose negative choices, worldly choices, and their life is worldly. And some people, they mess up, ask for forgiveness, and they meander around the zero line for their whole life because they refuse to grow up. Now, God loves you just like he did when he saved you. He loved people. His love is not based on their performance and their dedication. So whatever you do, it's not so God will love you. But whatever you do for God, it's just the right thing to do. And he going to reward you for your toil and effort, because it takes effort to love people and be a blessing to people. And he's going to bless you for it. He's going to reward you for the work that you do. See, spiritual wealth gets on your life when you bless other people, when you do the work of the ministry, when you stay unspotted from the world and work as under God. You're going to be rewarded for your physical labor. And then you're going to tithe. Those who tithe, God's going to bless you for that. God, those who give offerings, that causes spiritual wealth to get on your life, and you're going to be rewarded for that. See, tithes is not a law to you. It's worship. And offerings is worship. So when you give to God, your tithes and your offerings, you're worshiping him. And that will cause spiritual wealth to get on your life. When you give to the poor, you lend to God. That's how spiritual wealth get on your life. When you go out preaching and teaching and helping other people that do the same thing, when the missionary from up they go to other countries is out and you supply them, you give them money to help enable them to do what they're doing, God's going to give you the same reward that he's giving them. And they're praying for people, getting the lost saved, healing the sick, raising the dead. You're going to get rewarded for that, for helping them do it. I love James Robinson. He dig wells in remote places of the earth where people have dirty water. I love St. Jude. They, when you know, they help children who have cancer. They fly the family up there and they're good at it. A lot of children will live because people donate. That's how spiritual wealth get on your life. Some people going to go to heaven with nothing because all they did was meandered around and didn't do anything. You can't be rewarded in heaven for something you didn't do. It's not like here. People will take care of you because you won't work in this country. But it's not like that. God loves you. He's good. But some people are going to be wealthy in heaven. It's all on you. It's down to what you do. God will honor your choice. If you do the right things, you're going to be blessed. What you sow, you reap. What you don't sow, you don't reap. That's not hard to understand. But God loves you. Us ministers, we focus on getting people in heaven in the first place. But you need to know, this is your business. If you're rotten all your life and then you go to heaven, you don't expect a whole lot of rewards when you get there. But if you love people and walk in love and you're a blessing to people all your life, you'll be wealthy in heaven. That's just the way it works. But I love the Lord, our God and King. He's watching over us to help us, to be a blessing. Jesus said, he's going to return and his reward is with him. He delights in blessing his people. Now I want to show you how good God is. Jesus taught this. He said, he gave the parable of the, he told about the last day. This was true, not a parable. Parable is a story to represent a true fact, but he said that it was a parable of the vineyard. At the last hour, he would go out and find people standing around and let them work in the vineyard, get them to work in the vineyard. And then they're going to help reap the harvest. And Jesus is going to be so happy that they help reap the harvest and reap the harvest. He loves the harvest so much that he's going to give the people that worked in the last hour just as much as he did people that were laboring all day. And then people like me that work in the ministry all the time, we're going to say, wait a minute, how come they get the same reward we get? And we've been out here laboring in the sun all day. And Jesus is going to say, isn't it? He said, can't I do what I want to with my own? And we'll be rebuked. Because we're going to see other people who just started ministry get the same reward. God is good and generous, folks. If you work in his vineyard, you're going to be blessed. Now, you know, you don't see what, I don't know what, I know human nature, you're going to want the rewards. Even I don't think about rewards. I think about souls right now. Because that's what's important. All these things on earth, cars and houses, and all this land and all these things and farms and things people lust after, that can't be important to me right now when I know I've seen people go to hell and I don't want people to go. So from the time I saw people in hell in January of 1986, I still remember that experience. The Lord took me there and I saw it. And I don't want people to go. Now, I never seen the rewards in heaven. You know, not all the things we're going to get. And I know that we'll want those things. But right now, what's important to me is getting folks like you and me and everybody else that we know, our families, in heaven. Now, if we can pull that off, I can deal with those rewards later. Because this is what's important. Now, if I go up there and get rewarded and I hadn't and half the people I know are missing, that's not good. Especially if I could have done something. And it's one thing if they chose not to go. But knowing that I can do something for the Lord, it's got to be done. I got to do these things. Now, when people look at my website and they see all those files on there, I take the ministry serious. The ministry is serious. I watched my daddy minister all my life. And he was like a Sherman tank. He didn't stop. He didn't complain. He never complained about it. He used to work at a factory. And he had one of those jobs when you got home, you wanted to sit down. And he took a shower at where he worked. He come home clean because you get so dirty there. Then he'd drive all the way to Utah, Alabama. All my childhood, he'd drive to Utah, Alabama and preach. He passed two churches on one Sunday and one church on the next Sunday. And then he'd drive all the way back to Alabama, be at work at 6 in the morning. So I saw him do this for years, all my life, and he never complained about it. And he labored with people. And then I found out he did a lot of blessings that I knew nothing about. He helped many people, and we didn't even know it. He never complained. And he went about doing good. He helped some people out. We found out after he had passed, my sisters are still finding out about things that he did. And he was a blessing to people. And I thank God for it. Why? Because He set my pace. My parents set my pace. Now, my mother, she always honored him. Always. She never complained about the ministry and the work that it, you know, she shared my daddy with God. She shared my daddy with God. She shared her husband with God. And she was honorable about it. She loved her family. She cooked meals for us. She was a blessing. I got a friend of mine. He's like a brother to me. A brother. And I always wanted a brother. But he and his dad had problems. And he lived with us for a year or two. I think about 2 years he lived in our house. He was a blessing, and my mother took him in, and you know, she talked to him. She was a blessing. My dad, you know, they loved. They let when I was in the band, they used to let the band practice at the house, and it, I know it got on everybody's nerves, but they did. They blessed us, and they helped us out. They were trying to help us get ahead. And I remember Daddy ran a revival, and the band never heard him talk much because my dad didn't talk much. He was a man of very few words. He thought a lot, but he didn't talk a lot. He did more thinking than he did talking. And that's a blessing too. And he did a revival, and he was just on fire. And Earl said, "Is that the same man that sit on the couch and read that newspaper?" I fell out loud. I said, "That's him." He was a Methodist pastor that was on fire for the Lord. And he walked the walk. I watched him live. I know how he lived. Was he perfect? No. Who is? But he grew. He grew from glory to glory. We all, you know, a friend of mine got saved in a revival while we were kids. Derek went up and he received the Lord. I didn't know what he was doing. You know, as a child, you don't think about those things. But he did. He heard my dad preach and got saved. And then I saw a difference in him. When a person gets